So I am here because God has changed my life. I was a very wicked man. God says, when he saves a man, he makes him a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. Sorry. All things are become new. When God changes a man, he causes that man to hate the sin that he once loved. That's why I'm here. Because I see in Nigeria what has been in myself before God changed me. And I fear for you all. Because God's name is holy. He will not allow it to be blasphemed. And yet I have great hope for you as well. I have hope because in the past when my church has come, we have seen fruits of repentance in you. We desire that those would last, and that you would grow in holiness. And I see that your theme, you have two themes this year. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And there shall be showers of blessing. And I want to challenge all of you. Do not just look at those words and think that they automatically apply to you. Go home, read the chapters, not just the verses. Those chapters are also about God's judgment. Why does he have to do a new thing? Because we sin. Because we're sinners. And unless he does a new thing in the earth, we will perish before God. That is why he must do a new thing. That is why we must seek His blessing. Because without His blessing, without Him changing us, we will be destroyed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God talks about holiness. You heard today from Pastor Dorto. Psalm 24. Where it says that the gates will open to God. And you know God is the only one so holy that gates will open to Him without anyone helping. There is not a gate in Nigeria that you will go through where a guard, someone, does not have to open that gate. God is not like that. Everything moves for God. I want to read 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14 and going through chapter 7, verse 2. But there's another chapter I will go to after this, because I want you to understand first that if you are a Christian, God has given you a duty. He says, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You see, God is not like the rest of the world. And we must all look at ourselves and look at our churches and ask, are we like the rest of the world? Or are we holy? Do we put our hands with the wicked and do just like they do? Or do we walk by faith? He says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You see, here it says that it's only when you separate yourselves from the world, when you separate yourselves from the sin around you, it is only then that God receives you. That God treats you as sons and daughters. And he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. How do you become perfect in holiness? How do you stand before God in holiness? It's when you fear God. And who are those that you should receive? You see, Paul here says, receive us. And he gives the reason why the church should receive him. Because they had wronged no man. They had corrupted no man. They had defrauded no man. You see, Paul and the laborers in Christ were not taking bribes. They were not changing prices. They were not oppressing the fatherless and the widow. And they say, this is why you should receive us. Because we are walking in holiness. And I fear for you, because the culture of Nigeria is largely what many of you would call a Christian culture. Many of you would say maybe even half the country is Christian, and that's not true. It's not true. Because of these things, my question to you is, are you receiving those as brothers and sisters in Christ who defraud their neighbor? This is not what the church should do. And it's our prayer that you would understand this. And that you would look and be sure that you are not doing this. It's our prayer that God's name would be honored by you walking in the fear of God and in holiness. Now I want to turn to Jeremiah 7. So that we can see an example of what God says, how we should walk. What does it look like when we walk in holiness or when we do not? want to start in the beginning of the chapter. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord." Understand here that God is telling Jeremiah to speak to the church in Israel. He says, go speak to the church. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Is this what God is saying to you today? Have you turned from your sin? Have you changed your ways? He says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are all these." You see, here he's saying they're lying. When they look around and they say, "Look at all this around me. This is the temple of the Lord." He says, "For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place and in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." You see, he says, the Jews here, the people in Jerusalem, were lying when they said that they were part of the temple of God, because they did not walk in the fear of God. They did not execute judgment and justice. They oppressed the fatherless and the widow. It's my desire that that would not be true in this church. That that would not be true in those who call themselves churches across Nigeria. But you have to ask yourself, is it true in you? You have to ask yourself, am I doing evil to my neighbor? What does God say? You see, God says in another place, In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 12, he says that if a ruler hearkens to lies, if a ruler listens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Do you understand that that means that the pattern of this nation is a pattern of wickedness? Because we all know that the rulers of your land listen to lies. The rulers of your land speak lies. And honestly, the rulers of my land do too. And that should frighten us all. Because that means that those under their authority are not doing their job. Those under their authority are doing wickedly. The ones in authority listen to lies because those who they are ruling over are not speaking truth either. And the rulers know that they can get away with it. They know that they can speak lies and everyone will accept it. So be slow. Be slow to dismiss yourself from the crowd that says that they serve God, but they do not serve Him in heart. Search your hearts. Search the Word of God. Ask God to search your heart. And to tell you if you are walking in truth. He says, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations." The Apostle Paul spoke of this too. He said, "Should we sin that grace may abound?" He said, "God forbid." He says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" You see, this is why God says you speak lying words when He speaks to the people of Judah. Because these are things they were doing. They were lying. They were committing adultery. They were stealing. And they came to the house of God and said, "We are righteous. We know God." And God said, "No, you don't. You're blaspheming my name." He says, "Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. I want to ask you, how does God look at your worship? Does God look at your worship and say, that's not worship. You're stealing from me. You're stealing from my holy name. Because you will not do justly, and you come and say that you're the sons of the just and holy God. Then God gives an example. I want you to understand that God gives us knowledge so that we would use it to fear Him. God even says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And He gives us history. The stories of the past, the way He has worked in the world, so that we would fear Him. He says in verse 12, But go ye now unto the place, unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Shiloh was where God set His tabernacle, where He met with His people, even before Jerusalem. When God's people came into the promised land, they set up the tabernacle in Shiloh. And that's where they met with God. That's where they went for their offerings. And God tells the people in Judah now who are coming to His temple. He says, go. Go look at what I did. Where my name was before it was here in this temple. Go look at it. He says, and now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I give to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. You see, God's name will be praised. God desires and calls us to worship Him in truth. And God has given us examples of what happens. What happens when we do not worship Him in truth? And I exhort you, I plead with you, make sure that you're worshiping God in truth. That you are not going out to the community and working evil and coming back and saying that you know God. for those of you who God has worked in, who God is turning from sin. Continue to grow in holiness. Just because God destroyed Shiloh and later destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the nation, does not mean that no one was following him. But most people were not. Most of the people were walking after their own ways. Please do not do this. Worship God the way He desires. Make sure that you are not oppressing your neighbors. And understand that so often judgment comes. People die because God's name is not made holy among the people. I want to read a little bit from Psalm 78. Because this is where God talks about what He did in Shiloh. And I want to leave this on your mind. So that you would consider the works of God. I will start in verse 1. And just read a little bit here, a few verses. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Understand that none of this is new. We all know. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." God has given us history to know and to remember. You should look at what happens in your own land. And ask yourself, what is God doing? Why have the things happened to Nigeria that have happened. God says you should remember so that you would consider and know. Verse 54. God brings the people of Israel. This whole chapter is a history lesson. This is God saying what He has done to the nation of Israel. And it gets, He says, and He brought them, in verse 54, to the border of His sanctuary, even to the mountain which His right hand hath purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, He was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which He placed among men, and delivered His strength into captivity and His glory into the enemy's hand. He gave His people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with His inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. And He smote His enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, He refused the tabernacle of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which He loved. And He built His sanctuary like high places, like the earth which He hath established forever. He chose David also His servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, He brought him to feed Jacob His people, and Israel His inheritance. So He fed them according to the integrity of His heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. You see, God here says He destroyed Shiloh because of their wickedness, because of their false worship. And then He restored the nation. He brought them back from captivity, and He made David their king. He placed His temple in Jerusalem, in the tribe of Judah. And remember what He says in Jeremiah 7. He says, look at Shiloh. This place where I placed My name, I destroyed it. And if you do not depart here in Jerusalem from false worship, if you do not depart from sinning against your neighbors, if you will not put a difference between what is holy and what is profane, between the unrighteous and the righteous. If you will not say, that my brothers and sisters in Christ are the ones who do righteously, not the ones that say they're Christians. If you will not say that God makes a difference, then consider what God will do to make His name holy. He destroyed Shiloh. He destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple where He had placed His name. It's our desire that you would fear God, that you would walk in holiness before Him, and would not be like the rest of the world. Let me close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, You are the true and the living God, the God who is holy, who does what is just and right, the God who will not allow Your name to be blasphemed, the God who cares for Your children, who will draw them closer to You, who will cause them to walk in Your word, who will cause them to walk in light. Father, we ask You that You would help us all, that You would help us to put the difference between the rest of the world and Your church, that we would put a difference between Your name and the name of the false gods who the rest of the world worships. Have mercy on us. We ask that You would cause Your Spirit to turn us from our own iniquities, to turn us from lawlessness and from sin, that we would not do the things of the world, that we would not walk in the ways of the world, but that You would glorify Your name through us by keeping us from sin, by making a difference between Your church and the world. We pray in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.